Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, it's time for the Medical Association of Georgia's Top Docs Radio Show, which is made possible with a grant from Healthcare Research, a subsidiary of Alliant Health Solutions. Visit MAG.org and follow MAG on Twitter and Facebook at MAG1849 to find out why MAG is recognized as a leading advocate for physicians in Georgia.
We're here at the 2017 Spring Conference for the Academy of Managed Care Specialty Pharmacy, and I had an opportunity to sit down here with Paula Eichenbrenner. She's the Executive Director for the AMCP Foundation, and there's some interesting research that was presented in terms of posters and suggestive studies that were competing for some recognition that you'd like to talk about. I know there was some awards handed out last night. And then I know that the foundation has been focusing on evaluating a number of trends in healthcare technology and others that are affecting patient engagement and other issues around healthcare. So I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to sit down with me. I know you've been busy.
Absolutely. Happy to be with you and Top Docs.
Well, let's get into your award winners. I know that last night you were handing out some awards for top posters. You want to share some of the researchers' work that they're getting recognized for?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. There's some really innovative and forward-looking research going on all over the country, and the AMCP Foundation was honored to recognize three researchers with Best Poster Awards. We presented these awards in the categories of student pharmacist, resident or fellow, and graduate student. So our student pharmacist award conducted an economic evaluation of high-cost predictive factors for acute bacterial skin and skin structure infections. So this was a retrospective analysis that was done based on claims data, very well done by the student pharmacist who's from Rutgers University. Her name is Ariana Key. We also recognized a great poster presented by Cameron Kelly, who is a PGY1 pharmacy resident at Viva Health in Birmingham. Cameron, with the best poster presented by a resident, had a research project that involved predictive modeling and an analysis of select oncolytic drug costs through the commercial, medical, and pharmacy benefits. So this study looked at the cost implications if interventions or treatment plans were altered. And then finally, our graduate student, very interesting, Sanket Shah is his name. He's from the University of Texas at Austin, and he is an MD. He's a primary care physician who is working toward a PhD in health economics and outcomes research. He focuses on using large databases, claims data, discharge records, EMRs, and the like, to study the pharmacoepidemiology and comparative effectiveness of treatments. So the most recent work he's completed that we recognized him for was a cost comparison analysis of analyzing fecal microbiota transplants versus antimicrobial therapy. So, you know, cost effectiveness, CW, is a really important thing to consider, even for prescribing physicians who are involved in direct patient care, because the reality is therapy, any therapy, pharmaceutical therapy, needs to be cost effective for the patient and for the plan who's covering that patient. Otherwise, high costs will further impact adherence rates, and it's hard enough to get patients to remain adherent to their therapies.
I can see why these particular studies were highlighted, both probably for the quality of their work, but also from their focus. In talking with Susan Cantrell earlier, one of the things that we were talking about is the evolution towards value-based reimbursement for pharma around their medications that they are providing for treating a variety of clinical illness. It sounds like that, much like it has been implemented into healthcare hospitals and physician practices in terms of your outcomes of your patients affect how we get reimbursed. It sounds like that's kind of the trend that we're heading towards in the medication space as well, in pharmacy. So focusing on cost issues and how certain changes in the treatment plan would affect that cost, I can see where that would have some value in terms of providing insights into what they're finding as they look at these things.
Without a doubt. In fact, the AMCP Foundation conducts landscape analysis regarding the top trends in healthcare, the influences and the wild cards that are affecting the way that we all care for patients and then pay for it. And migration to value-oriented healthcare marketplaces is one of the 10 trends currently under study. study, and we definitely see more and more payers and policymakers turning towards value as a key metric. And in fact, you know, we think that the migration from fee-for-service to new payment models, to models that look to optimize value and to reward risk taken by practice groups, you know, that's, we only see that increasing in the future. And so these studies, I think, really show the potential for population health science to impact individual patient care. Because at the same time, let's acknowledge that personalized medicine is a big trend too, right? And there's more and more available to us through science and genetic screening and the customization of treatments. Yet, looking at the population level can definitely inform patient care in many of the same ways.
I think that when you're talking about the precision side of prescribing, for example, for the last few years, or actually for probably well over a decade, there's been pharmacogenetic data available, but the challenge around that is part of, as far as making that a part of, say, MTM discussions and trying to decide whether I should prescribe this medication to this individual or not, it's been inhibited because it's cost has been very prohibitive for both patients as well as payers. There's some very good evidence out there around certain elements of it. They're beginning to look at trying to include that sort of information into the MTM discussions, for example. And I think that it will become a little bit more possible to have prescribers and payers and all of the folks that are involved in this patient's care and deciding what their medication regimens would be. They'll be able to make that much better of a personalized decision using that kind of data. And I think it's on a near-term horizon.
I would agree. And, you know, one of the challenges that the AMCP Foundation has said to healthcare stakeholders is to improve transparency in benefit design and in pricing at all levels of the healthcare system. We think it's necessary to simplify the complex nature of healthcare in this country. And in part, that's so that patients can be better informed to be more accountable for treatment decisions, too. At the end of the day, an informed patient can also help to improve outcomes.
And I know that technology is empowering patient engagement on higher levels now, enabling hospitals and health systems to be able to reach patients, both whether they're in an urban setting, but particularly those that are in far-flung regions. They're able to engage those patients using a variety of technologies. I was just sitting talking to a gentleman earlier whose company provides a number of like Bluetooth monitoring devices of different types that lets those care providers be able to keep an eye in more real time on what's happening with their patients. So can you talk about some of the things that are going on with technology that you all have identified?
Yeah, absolutely. The increasing role of technology in patient care is also a trend identified in our Emerging Trends in Healthcare body of knowledge. We've already touched on a bit the potential of big data to inform some patient care. So at the individual patient level, the potential applications, you know, that's just tremendous. You can see it really taking shape in some diabetes treatments, continuous glucose monitors, for example. That's a pretty highly evolved technology. The real capabilities, I think, we'll harness when we better are able to capture patient-reported outcomes. So I'm aware of some research being done around patient-reported outcomes in diabetes patients wearing continuous glucose monitors and using their smartphones and an app on that pops up, and they can complete information about their mood that's matched against their glucose levels at that time when they gave that response. And so, you know, I think that the potential here is just off the charts. There are a lot of great companies with solutions underway. Mobile health, even telemedicine. I think give it 5 years, it'll be unrecognizable. Give it another 25, and we just won't even know the world we came from.
Any other major developments that you see on the horizon that our listeners might want to know about?
Well, you know, we certainly feel that the shift towards integrated healthcare delivery is something that will continue to increase too. What that means at the community level, we don't exactly know. And in some ways, it is impossible to predict the future, right, CW? But you mentioned far-flung patient populations, and that's a concern of the AMCP Foundation. When we want to optimize patient outcomes, we think about the very reasonable prior authorizations that formulary decision makers put in place around accessing treatment. For example, to access a rheumatoid arthritis medication, a patient may need to have a consult from a rheumatologist, which is a reasonable requirement for a health plan to put in place, especially for such an expensive medication or perhaps even a specialty pharmacy drug as well. We mm-hmm. see a lot of those prior authorizations. And so I think that, here again, the more integrated we can be in the delivery of care, the easier it will be to get patients the requirements that they need to access their care. And, you know, you can see where a rheumatologist might be able to access some of the technologies we just discussed to do that more effectively in rural areas.
I'm sure that your members appreciate the fact that the foundation puts together these types of analyses of emerging trends where they can see some evaluation of literature and what's going on, what's being studied, what are some of those early results coming in, such that they can maybe begin to make some plans themselves, maybe make some changes around that so that they're not hit with it when it comes down the road.
Right, of course. And we're very grateful to the funding partners who help us produce this research, recognize excellence in research, and conduct our educational programs so that we can educate more people about the principles of managed care pharmacy and how it can impact patient care. We would love to continue to expand these types of resources to initiate more research, certainly to issue challenge grants. We're working on developing a research agenda that will set forth the areas where we see the biggest gaps in the existing evidence base and what we think researchers, whether they be in academia or R&D or think tanks or in other capacities, what we would hope that they would focus on to solve the pressing healthcare challenges of our time.
Is there a demographic of the supporters that you mentioned that are providing resources for the foundation to do its work? I would imagine you're looking to expand that and develop new relationships. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about who you'd like to engage with to provide some measure of support and resources to allow you to be able to do this kind of analysis?
Sure. Some of our existing partners are from the pharmaceutical industry. Pfizer, for example, was integral in providing an unrestricted educational grant that allowed us to issue the latest version of the emerging trends and healthcare analysis. We do work with a number of other pharmaceutical companies. We have some that are very generous in providing immersive student pharmacist experiences. The foundation has a summer internship program, and we embed student pharmacists in companies like Allergan and Genentech so they can see what health economics and outcomes research looks like at the pharmaceutical company level and certainly get an idea of some of the many career options available to pharmacists outside of retail pharmacy. So we're also partner with a number of health plans and with pharmacy benefit managers, but we're actively looking to partner with technology companies and other companies that are aligned with pharmacy, but not necessarily directly of it. And I think, again, we should be beholden to what we say about integration of healthcare, and in that the more integrated we can be, the more research collaborations that we can spur and contribute to, the more interdisciplinary our own efforts can be. I think that the AMCP Foundation will be stronger for that.
Mm-hmm. How do you mentioned that you have some involvement with students who are getting able to have access to some of these companies that are providing support to the foundation. How does, if I'm somebody that wants to maybe try to participate in that, how do I get selected?
Well, you can visit apply.amcpfoundation.org and view the current applications and information on these student pharmacist experiences. I will say that we're looking for student pharmacists who are highly engaged, who have had exposure to clinical operations, who've chosen carefully with the electives available through their pharmacy school curricula, and who are interested in looking at the bigger picture.
Well, that's great. Do you have any other websites or resources that folks should go to get more information about the work you're doing with AMCP Foundation?
Our main page is at www.amcpfoundation.org. And from there, you can navigate to our research proceedings from our annual research symposia. Last October, our symposium focused on opioid therapy and access, mm-hmm. a very timely topic considering some of the national public health crisis we're facing. Yes. Around addiction and addiction. Yep. Treatment. treatment. So I would definitely commend the homepage, www.amcpfoundation.org, to your listeners.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. I know you've got a busy schedule, and I'll let you get back to your day, but maybe we'll connect at the fall conference and see where things have developed since then.
That would be terrific. Thank you so much.
I look forward to it. We'll see you then.